From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak today. This morning's update from the Camp wildfire burning in Butte County shows crews are gaining some ground. It's now listed at 40% containment, and it only grew slightly to 140,000 acres overnight. More than 9,000 structures have been destroyed. Nearly 8,800 of those were homes. There are still more than 15,000 structures listed as threatened. The sheer number of people forced out of their homes is exacerbating an already troubled housing situation in Butte County. Ed Mayer is the executive director of the county's housing agency. He says the campfire has pushed the area to the brink of humanitarian crisis.
So we have a lot of seniors and disabled living in this area, and particularly up in Paradise, who are low income and who have very little recourse in an event like this. So the challenge is, of course, is that we've got 6,000 to 7,000, maybe more, displaced families from Paradise. They're not going to find housing in our county anytime soon. We already had a very low, effectively zero vacancy rate here. So the long and the short of it is we're looking at 6,000 to 7,000 families who we can either choose to try to keep in place as long as possible, the many years it will take to rebuild the community to be able to reintegrate them, or the plain and simple of the matter is that they're going to have to go somewhere else. And the prospects are not good in California, which is generally challenged by housing shortages. So we're looking at folks being displaced around the country. The rub in all of this is, of course, we're talking low-income seniors and disabled who really don't have the means to move about the country. So when we talk of humanitarian crisis, pre-campfire, we were talking about the homeless. Where do they go to the bathroom? Where do they shower? How do they care for themselves? The refuse that humans generate naturally, that was part of our community discussion. Now this discussion has just blown up, and we have thousands of families camping out in Walmart parking lots, at refugee centers, at resettlement centers, I guess you'd call them. But it challenges every bit of our system's ability to triage these families. So humanitarian because we have many families, many households, particularly vulnerable, who have no recourse and no place to go. And our services are not structured to deal with 6,000 to 7,000 households at a time. It's a beautiful thing to watch people take care of each other in an emergency. In rural areas, I think it's particularly beautiful. You have a culture here of people helping each other out. And so when we have a catastrophe like this, it's what we've witnessed is a lot of people helping each other out and sharing unconditionally, incredible generosity coming in from around California. And so we're seeing this, how should I say, general celebration of humanity, but this stands in stark contrast to the reality of the situation, and as time wears on, things are not going to be so happy. But we do have folks, you know, struggling to stay warm. The nights are getting very cold now. They're intense. People are sleeping in their cars with their engines on. This is really, when we're talking seniors and disabled, low income particularly, one health condition can spin into a life-threatening event. So sleeping outdoors in these situations is really challenging. There are homes in Paradise and in the evacuation areas. We have had no news about when the community may be allowed to revisit the Paradise Magalia area or the canyons around them. The first responders are still just digging out. But they're still working with an active fire up in Paradise in particular. They're looking for bodies. It takes quite a while to clear an area. My expectation is until power and water are restored and areas are cleared, that you're not going to see much access to these areas. So best guess, and this is a guess because we don't have any active information, is we're looking at anywhere from a couple weeks to 3 months to begin to be able to get access to these areas. So if folks, and we are aware, I became aware this morning of some, there's holdouts, folks who did not honor the evacuation, who are still, let's say, in Paradise, in their homes. They survived. They can't leave the evacuation area and come back. So they're in their homes, and of course, they're living on whatever water and food they had stored in their homes. Interesting situation. Whether they get to stay or how they get to stay will be interesting to see how it plays out. But long and the short of it is, no one's going back into these areas anytime soon. So this is a marathon, not a short walk.
Butte County Executive Director of Housing Ed Mayer earlier this morning, as you heard him there, he said it could be weeks, even months, before the Paradise area is reopened to its residents. Air quality because of the wildfire has been in the health warning or health alert range for days and shows no signs of easing up today. Joining us to discuss the state of our air is Lori Kobza, spokeswoman for the Sacramento Air Quality Management District. Lori, welcome to Insight.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Lori, when I spoke to you on Friday asking you about the air situation, you said at that point the Bay Area had been inundated with smoke, but Sacramento had been pretty clear up to that point. And you said it's coming, and then it could stick around till Wednesday. Well, now it's Thursday.
Yeah, it's here, and it's going to be here for the foreseeable future.
Is that right?
We did extend our wildfire smoke health statement along with Sacramento County Public Health. We extended it yesterday to go through Friday. It's very possible that on Friday we will extend it again. We still have to take it on a day-to-day basis, but we are looking at weather conditions that just aren't changing. And because of that, all of the smoke is just trapped here. And for the Sacramento Valley and where we are in Sacramento County, it's coming through, and actually Placer County, it's everywhere. It's coming through the canyon from up there, and we are in a drainage canal, basically, for air, and we are just getting slammed with the pollution. So I empathize with all of your listeners because I know how difficult it is right now, and we are all doing our best to get correct information out to the public. The most important thing, and I know you have said this over and over again, and people have heard it in many places, but the best thing to do is to stay indoors and minimize your outside activity.
And I imagine when you're indoors, if there's a way to filter the air in there as well, that would even enhance your situation.
That can help. I am not sure about the different types of indoor air quality filters that exist. So that is something that your listeners can look into on their own to determine if there is something that might do a good job of filtering particulate matter 2.5. A lot of times those indoor air filters are good for filtering out mobile source emissions from outside. Particulate matter 2.5 can be a little bit different when it comes from wildfire smoke. So I have encouraged people to put, you know, towels around their doors and around their windows, things like that, because PM 2.5 is so microscopic, and that's why we are concerned about it from a health perspective, because it not only gets into your lungs, but it can get into your bloodstream.
And what are some of the effects you might feel at that point?
Well, if you are somebody who already suffers from a heart or a lung condition, it can definitely make you feel much sicker. You can get an increased shortness of breath. You can have heart arrhythmia. It can cause heart attacks in people as well. So for your listeners out there who already have a pre-existing condition, it's very, very important that if they are feeling any symptoms that they think is related to the smoke or they don't know, that they contact their doctor. Contact your medical health provider at all time. That's really the first line of information for anybody out there who already has a condition. For a healthy person, I think we're all starting to feel effects of longer term, and the longer it goes, the more effects people will feel. You know, we're having folks who are complaining of nosebleeds and the cough and the catch in the throat where you're doing this all day long, burning eyes, general fatigue, and emotional fatigue sets in as well. People aren't used to having this much smoke in this area at such high levels consistently.
Is this unprecedented?
And it is very unique, especially for Sacramento County, because when there have been other fires, sometimes it'll hit Placer County or El Dorado, but miss Sacramento County. Or it'll hit Yolo Solano counties and Placer County and maybe a part of Sacramento County. But there have usually been places where people can go to get out of it, if you will. That's just not the case with this fire and with how the weather conditions are. So it's all coming in. It's going to be here for the next several days. I will have an update in the next several hours. And so I will provide that to you and your team so you can provide updated information to your listeners.
And we'll share that during All Things Considered, of course, this afternoon. Lori, during this digital age, this bad air quality is sending a lot of people to smartphone apps and online to look at these resources that show these colored bubbles that tell you, that gives you a number, you know, 200, 300, 400 range lately, indicating how bad the air quality is in your neighborhood. What do people take away from those numbers? I feel like we have this new information, but a lot of us haven't been schooled on it.
You know, I think the numbers I wouldn't focus on as much. I would focus on the color. That's also easier for people to digest. And that's why the Air Quality Index was created by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency well over 10, 12 years ago, maybe even longer now. I've been doing this work myself since 1993, and sometimes the years run together. But the Air Quality Index was created to give those colors. So green is good or healthy. Yellow is moderate. Orange is unhealthy for sensitive groups. A sensitive group includes those people who already have a health condition, children, because their lungs are still growing and they breathe in pound for pound more air than we do as adults. Outdoor workers, pregnant women, athletes, those outdoor athletes, I will emphasize, that falls into an unhealthy for sensitive groups category. Then red is unhealthy for everybody, meaning anyone could feel health effects. Then after that is purple, which is very unhealthy. And then higher than that is maroon, which is hazardous. We have had periods of hazardous readings in the Sacramento region that have lasted for hours. They might not last for a full 24, but they last long enough. And therefore, the sad reality is there isn't much that people can do to get out of it except for staying indoors. And then it raises the question of indoor air quality. Everybody's home is built differently. Weather stripping is different from home to home. Ventilation is different from office building to office building. So I still feel, and the experts have still told me, that it is better to be inside than outside. But people are going to have to use their own good judgment. And if they're feeling uncomfortable, or if there's just a situation that they're not good in, then they need to remove themselves from it.
Lori, if you're an outdoor worker, do you have any sort of recourse with your employer when it gets into this hazardous zone that you can say, hey, the air outside is hazardous. I can't be at work today.
You know, that I don't know. That would be a question for the Division of Occupational Safety and Health or Cal OSHA. One of those organizations might be able to address that particular question. I'm not sure what type of resource outdoor workers have.
Sacramento City Unified School District says it consulted with your organization regarding its decision to hold classes today. Other districts have chosen to close, as have colleges and universities, including Los Rios Colleges, Sac State, Stanislaus State, UC Davis. There are many factors Sac Unified, of course, takes into account. But when it comes to your agency's consultation, what sort of information are you providing?
I'm providing the same information to the Sacramento County Public Health Officer, who is then providing that information to the school district superintendents. And I'm also providing the same information to any of the school district's staff that contact me. The Sac Metro Air District is responsible for providing the air quality information as a resource. Ultimately, it is the purview of the Sacramento County Public Health Officer and the school district superintendents to make a decision whether they cancel class or not. There are many factors that go into deciding whether to keep class going or not. I can tell you that for several school districts, they are doing what they feel best meets the needs of all of their students, and they're following recommendations for when students are at school in these situations to stay indoors, no recess, no outdoor PE, etc. These are extraordinary times that we're dealing with, and staying open at school, students feel safe, they're supervised, they're learning. Everybody's home environment, and I gave this same statement to a member of the public that I was talking to earlier today, everybody's home environment is different. Not everyone has the ability as a parent to stay home from work, to supervise a child when school is out of session, or to make sure that that child doesn't go outside. In a school environment, the teachers, the principal, the superintendent, all the school staff are aware of the air quality situation and the information that we are providing to them. and they can make sure that the children are not outside and breathing in more air than they should.
Lori Kobza with Sacramento Air Quality Management District on the state of our air during the ongoing campfire. Thank you so much, Lori.
You're welcome. Thank you. And call anytime. Take care, everybody.
Absolutely. Let's turn now to Eric Kurth. He's a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Sacramento. Hey, Eric.
Hello. Good morning.
So what's the prognosis in terms of the air shifting in a way that we might be able to clean it out, not just for the Sacramento area, but to the north in Chico and Butte County, where they've even had more accelerated numbers than what we're seeing here?
Yeah, this is a tough time of year to have a wildfire. We usually have wet conditions and the grass is green, so we usually don't see this kind of event. And we get very strong inversions, which have been trapping that smoke. And it really doesn't have anywhere to go until we get a system to clear it. There's a bit of a hint that we're going to get something Saturday night into Sunday, which will act to clear the smoke to some degree. Unfortunately, though, it will also maybe cause the campfire to flare up a little bit more, and that could produce more smoke. So in terms of like a really long-term improvement, it's really rain that's going to make the difference.
And that's on a lot of people's minds. Any significant rain in the forecast as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday weekend?
Starting to get a little better confidence that we're going to see a change mid to late next week, potentially as early as Wednesday, but better chances later Thursday and Friday. So we're seeing a little better agreement with some of our computer models, I guess especially for more of that Thursday-Friday period.
Would that be a colder system or one of those warmer jet stream ones that hit us sometimes?
It's not going to be an especially warm system or a cool system either. It's going to be, kind of a typical system. But at this point, I think anything that brings us rain is exciting.
Right. Yes. And while it'll help with the fire situation and the smoke, of course, a lot of people traveling over Thanksgiving weekend. But I think we'll all deal with it in that case. Eric Kurth, meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Sacramento. Thank you for the update. We appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
And of course, we'll have a lot more information at capradio.org/insight on all the topics you've heard so far this morning. You are listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.